Tonight we're going to look at the very familiar passage of where Jesus calmed the storm. We've learned that story, we've heard that story ever since we were in Sunday school and little kids and vacation Bible school, and we know it by heart. We know it's in Matthew and Mark and Luke in the Synoptic Gospels. And I just thought it was appropriate, and not only because it's coming from my heart tonight, but also I think that just about everybody in this room, to one degree or another, can identify with the reality of storms in your life. Amen. And especially today, we're reminded of the storm, if you will, that took over 3,000 lives 18 years ago on 9/11. We just recently, while I was still over in Israel, we were watching the track of the storm that was coming up and going up the East Coast, and the devastation that that storm caused in the Bahamas and different places, and the lives that were lost because of that storm. As a church, we're going through somewhat of a storm, and we'll be going through that. Some of you have gone through recent storms. I've gone through the biggest storm I've ever been through in my life. I'm still going through it. I'm not through it yet. You identify. In this passage, we'll look at the literal revelation of God's word and what it teaches us in this passage. But then there's also some allegorical things that we can glean from this when we consider the sovereignty of God, regardless of the circumstance and regardless of the situation. And that's what this is all about, is the absolute sovereignty of God over our lives, over circumstances. And as we look at this passage, and when we talk about storms too, I'm reminded of the fact that every storm is not equally devastating. For instance, sometimes we'll say, well, we had a little thunderstorm. And the other night, well, in fact, it was last night, had that little thunderstorm that came through, and I loved it because it got cooler and gave us some water, and we need refreshing. So even in the storms, they're not all equally devastating. They don't all have the same effects. And even in the midst of those storms, there can be glimpses of goodness. Even in the most devastating storms, God can bring glimpses of goodness. We'll see this in this passage right here. As we look at this passage in Mark chapter 4, as we read through this and we kind of come together and we're studying this together, we're family, we're opening up God's word. That's the most significant part, by the way, of what we're doing tonight. The fact that we're singing together, we're praising the Lord, we're family, and then God's word is what brings change and goodness in our lives. And so we're going to open God's word, and as we look at this passage, I just want you to remember a few things. So just that, remember a few things. So if you have your Bibles open now to Mark chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 35. I'm just going to read these few verses, and then we'll come back and kind of peel them away a little bit and consider some other things about this and what God is showing us in this passage. So beginning in verse 35, Mark chapter 4. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling up. But he was in the stern, or the back of the boat, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be still," or "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, and that second fear was more of an awe because they're kind of getting a glimpse of who they're in the boat with. They still hadn't gotten it completely. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. This passage of scripture is fresh on my mind because this familiar account is what I read on Monday morning, July 15th, in Modin, Israel, about 100 miles from where this event took place. And it was 5 days after Sophie and Itai, my grandson, their souls left this earth and went to be with God. In fact, it was 2 months ago today. Rodrigo was Sophie's husband, my son-in-law, was still on life support. I've never been in a bigger storm in my life, and in God's sovereignty, this was the passage that was for that day. One thought that went through my mind was, God, are you serious? I don't really feel like hearing some glamorous thing about how you're in control of all events. I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, I don't know why you let this happen. I will never understand it in this life. But I'm not mad at you. I'm not losing my faith. And I can truly say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only reason I could say that was because I was seeing now firsthand that the little things that God had done in my life in the sunny days had actually taken root. And in times in my life in the past, which I, even as a pastor, has asked the questions, what would I do in a situation like that? How would I respond in a circumstance like that? What would I do if that ever happened to me? I've asked those questions. But during those times of sunny times, God was doing a work. And then when I came to the storm and the dark clouds were there and I was desperate and fearful and sad and depressed and overcome with grief, I could only do that because of what God had done in my life in the sunny days. Never take for granted what the Lord is doing in your life when maybe for this period of time life is good. Every time you open your Bible and you spend that time with the Lord and you think, well, I'll just kind of go through this today and then I'll get on with my day, don't underestimate how significant that is, because that's one more time and one more moment that the Lord is knitting your heart to His. Don't ever underestimate the time when you might sing a song and you're singing it casually, but it's a praise song and you're singing it, but you're singing it from your heart to the Lord. Never underestimate the significance of that, maybe in a sunny day, and how that will play out in what the work, the timeless, deep work that God is doing in your life, that will become reality in the dark days. That's what I discovered in my life. And so when of all passages he had this for me to read, I said, well, Lord, I believe this. I really do believe it. Other times I could say that I believed it, but now I really believe it. One of the greatest hindrances to our trusting Jesus in the storms of our lives is the acute awareness that he was the one that let us get into the storm in the first place. You see, the only options I had, if I believed that God is sovereign and God is all powerful, and even when the devil wanted to come against Job and accuse him, he had to go ask permission of the Lord. Well, then that means he let it happen. It also means that sometimes he causes things to happen. Sometimes things that initially we don't like. But if he's sovereign, it's not like I had only some options to choose from. Either he wasn't paying attention and didn't see what happened, or he knew exactly what was going to happen on July 11th and still had a purpose in it, even though I'll never understand it. And so when we see this account right here, we see an account where the storms come up, Jesus has gone to sleep, it's been a long day, and he's asleep in the boat, and the winds come down through the mountains of the Sea of Galilee and blows up those waves, and the disciples are terrified. Was Jesus not aware? Was he not paying attention? He's sovereign. And he was right there in the boat with him. Now, I want to use a bit of allegory here. And see, what an allegory is an allegory is a story or a poem or a picture that can be interpreted to have a hidden meaning. I don't think there's a lot of hidden meaning in here. I don't think it's like, wow, Scott, that's so impressive. I never saw that before. I don't think I'm going to impress anybody here tonight in what I'm saying. But what it does mean is that allegory can be kind of that overall principle or something that we can draw from it that's based on truth. So in other words, I don't think there's anything in between the lines that God wants to reveal to us and we're like, oh, I would have never seen that. No, but yet there's an allegorical principle here. Just like it said right there where it said, Jesus said, let us go across to the other side. He was inviting them to accompany him. And they did. And he got in the boat with them. They were in it together, just like Jesus invites us to come into life with him. But when he issues that invitation and we accept it, it means that we also accept all that that life will include. You see? When they got in that boat with Jesus, and Jesus was going to go asleep in the boat, Jesus knew a storm was coming. And Jesus knew that the boat was going to start filling up with water. And those disciples didn't. But you see, when they said, oh yeah, let's go with Jesus. Let's go with Jesus. When God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That, folks, is an invitation. And when we accept the invitation, we accept everything that comes with that life in Jesus. We don't pick and choose. You see, many times we go through life and we want Jesus in the boat and we're perfectly content while life is going well for him to be asleep. But we want him paying attention when the storms come. You see, similarly, we accept his invitation. We have our sins forgiven. We want to walk in this life with Jesus, but we don't want the storms. Lord, don't take us into the storms. Take us around the storms. Or better yet, just don't let any storms come up. But just like storms are a reality that follow the laws of God and what God has already placed in what we call nature, so are trials and so are tribulations and so are the trials of life. We do not have a Savior who did not warn us ahead of time. He said, you will have troubles. You will have trials. But I have overcome the world. So remember that Jesus is aware of the storm. Jesus is aware of the storm that you have just come out of, perhaps. Jesus is aware of the storm that you are in right now. Or Jesus is aware of the storm that you're heading towards. Because in this life, it's one of those three options. Either you are coming out of a storm, you are in a storm, or friend, a storm is coming. That's life. But he's over the storms. Remember that Jesus is aware of the storm. Secondly, remember that Jesus cares about you in the storm. Jesus cares about you in the storm. Don't you love what the disciples say in this passage? But he was asleep on the cushion, verse 38, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" How many times has the Lord heard that question or some form of it? You ever thought about that? Boy, if ever the Lord was permitted to roll his eyes, I'm sure it's when he hears a question like that. And he only hears it a few billion times. Lord, don't you care? It was only because of the work that Jesus had done in my heart that I didn't ask that question. Of course I know he cares. Of course I know he cared for Sophie. Of course I know he cared for Itai. Of course I know he cares for Rodrigo. Of course he cares. He demonstrated that on the cross. And I know that Sophie and Rodrigo, and by grace Itai, Sophie and Rodrigo had accepted that offer of his life for theirs. He didn't have to tell me that he cared about them. The disciples go to him, Jesus said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" I remember the words of Martha, where it said, the scripture says that Martha was distracted with serving. And she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Luke chapter 10, verse 40. So important, that moment. Lord, don't you care that I'm having to do all the work? Both Martha and Mary in John 11 kind of asked kind of the same thing whenever he was going to come and Lazarus had died and he was going to come and raise him from the dead. You also remember that that was the occasion when the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That was to come. But before he got there, both Mary and Martha separately came to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's just another way of saying, Lord, didn't you care enough to come on time? Lord, don't you care about us? And we know that he did, because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And yet Jesus, looking around at the grief that everyone was experiencing, that death had brought into this world and the reality of death, and it says he wept because he cares. If Christ lives within us, then doesn't it stand to reason that every single thing we go through, he goes through it too? I don't know about you, but I'm still not very good. Why this applies to my life is because there's still movies that I watch when I know how it's going to end and I still cry. I know it's going to end good and I still cry. I was the big joke in the family. My kids used to look down when we got to the sad part of the film. I could see them all of them eventually looking down at Dad because they knew I'm the one crying. Jesus knew he's going to raise him from the dead, but why did he cry? Why? Because he didn't cry because it was just a story. He cried, he wept because of the pain that death has brought into this world and into our lives, and the sadness and the grief. He is with us. He's aware. He knows. And he cares about you in the storm. He cares about the little things. He cares when you're hurting. Another thing that I want us to remember as we consider this passage is to remember that Jesus is with you in the storm. He's aware of the storm. He cares about you in the storm, and he is with you in the storm. Think Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You are with me. In Luke 23, 43, Jesus said to the thief on the cross. You know, a lot of people, a lot of scholars debate where that comma should have been. Truly, truly, truly I say to you today, comma, or truly I say to you, comma, today you'll be. You know what? It doesn't matter to me. All that matters is Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. When this life is over, whatever that looks like, wherever it is, I don't care. I'm not going to get in a theological debate. All I know is wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. And I know that if that's where I'm going to be, I will be happy and I'll be fulfilled and it will be glorious. But knowing the promise that he says, you will be with me. I want us to read Psalm 139 if we can. Just if you'll turn to Psalm 139, the words once again of David. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, he says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You see where I'm going with this, folks? What makes the difference in the storm is that Jesus is with you. He's with you. If you know Jesus, and if you are in Jesus, and he is in you, then no matter what storm you may go through in your life, no matter what difficulty or tragedy or devastating event, he is with you. He's not only aware of it, he doesn't only care about you when you're in it, but he's in it with you. And the promise is he will never leave you. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I, what? Am with you most of the time, always, to the end of the age. Meaning that once you come into relationship with me, I never leave you. You never leave me. You're never in a circumstance where I'm not there. You're never in a storm that I'm not aware of. And not only that, I'm never going to leave you even to the end of your life, even to the end of this world, even to the time when the new heaven and the new earth will come, I will be with you. But see, folks, the Holy Spirit has to drive that down into your soul. Because if he doesn't do it, positive thinking won't. That's why this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says that in Hebrews, it is alive. This isn't just a book of history. It's not just a book of poetry. It's not just fanciful words. It is alive. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and what? And training in righteousness. But the Lord takes this when you have a sincere heart, and when you have those times when you maybe don't think they're that significant, and every time you get on your knees and you call out to the Lord, every time you get on your knees and you praise the Lord, every time you open your Bible and feed on the Lord, He knits your heart that much more to His. So that you then one day understand, He is with me. He will never leave me, no matter what. And whatever I go through, He is going through it with me. And when He sees me weep, He weeps. Not because He doesn't know that how it's all going to turn out, but because He feels my pain to the core of His being. That's the kind of God that is our God. Finally, I do want to say, look at verse 40. I love the Lord's response. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you afraid?" When we go through our storms, the Lord will sometimes ask us the same questions. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I thought about the same question. What am I afraid of? I'm sad because I don't get any more video calls or FaceTime, and I haven't yet met Itai. I'm sad. But am I afraid I'm not going to see him ever? No. Don't be overcome with the things that cause fear that is rooted in lies. So the Lord said, what are you afraid of? Because you have to come face to face with your fears. And when God brings you face to face with your fears, that's when you overcome the fears. Job said the same thing. We look at Job. Go back and read it, the first part. Whenever he was this man of faith. God, I mean, I don't ever want to be that much faith where God says, hey, to the devil, hey, have you ever considered Scott? I don't want the attention. I don't know about you, but no, thank you. Hide. I don't want the Lord to see me in that sense. But that's what God did. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He pointed him out. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew what Job was going to go through. But in the beginning, Job's faith was steadfast. But he did say, Job said, that which I have dreaded has come upon me. That which I fear has come about. Wow. This great man of faith is showing a little bit of his soul, saying, the very things that I was afraid of have happened. He must have been afraid of losing his family. He must have been afraid of losing his things. This great man of faith was normal and human, and he had fears. And God brought him face to face with the very things he feared. And what did he see God do? He delivered him. He delivered him through the fears and that which he dreaded. Finally, remember that Jesus is greater than any storm. He is greater than any storm. Even if the storm takes your life, he is greater than any storm. A storm is a violent atmospheric disturbance characterized by low barometric pressure, cloud cover, precipitation, strong winds, and possible lightning and thunder. But storms simply follow the laws of nature that God has already set up. jet streams, warm Gulf water, sea currents, highs and lows in air pressure all produce atmospheric effects. That's why our weathermen and weatherwomen can tell us what to expect 10 days out. Because they simply look at signs, that those things that God has already put in place. If you're going to have a lot of warm water in the Gulf and you get the right circumstances, you're going to have a storm. That's how they can predict it. Because God's already set it up. He set it up the same way as we have laws of gravity and laws of aerodynamics. The laws that produce storms have all been put in place by God. Even the ones in our lives. How do we say this? Well, in the physical sense or in the natural sense, we think of Colossians 1, 15 through 16. What does it say? He is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. In heaven and where? On earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. You see, folks, without the storms in life, we could really never know Jesus. We could really never know him as Redeemer. We could never really know him as Deliverer. We could never really know him as Comforter. We could never really know him as Counselor. Without the storms in life, even the ones that not only that God knows about, but that actually leads us into, and sometimes leaves us there for a while, and sometimes, boy, it's sounding really like he's cruel, but he's not, even allows us to suffer for a period of time. Without those things in this life, understanding that this life, we were not created for this world, and this life doesn't last forever. Without the storms of life, we never could understand what Psalm 6:1 says. That our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is good all the time. His ways are not our ways. Storms are not anything that we would have ever created for ourselves. We don't invite them. We try to avoid them. But we can't do it indefinitely. But when we go through those storms, whether it's just a little shower that might just kind of mess up the newly washed car, or it's a raging hurricane, through it all, Jesus is aware. Jesus cares. Jesus is with us. And Jesus is greater than any storm we'll ever face. You know, we don't assume anything that we believe that necessarily everybody in this room knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The invitation has been extended. He's invited you, just like he did those disciples, hey, come with me. Come with me. Not going to lie to you. Coming to Jesus doesn't make all your problems go away. Sometimes for a while they get worse. It doesn't mean you won't ever suffer. In fact, just the opposite. The difference is you now have his life, and his life is in you. And you have the promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, even to the end of the age. Have you received that gift tonight? It's even possible that someone who has professed Christianity or be a believer for many, many years, that just looking at this passage in Scripture, maybe the Holy Spirit has said, you haven't started following me yet. You're not with me yet. Maybe the Lord said that. I don't know. We have some folks that at the end of every time that we have on Wednesday night is they go right outside this door here to my left, and then just there's a little room there. And they have the gift of mercy and care and concern, and they love to be able to pray with anyone that for that moment when they're going to come into new life in Christ. So don't pass up that opportunity to have someone that will join with you in praying and cares about you and loves you. But I hope that tonight this God's word has been an encouragement to you. I pray that we too, in turn, as we go through storms, that we can be an encouragement to others who maybe don't understand. Because see, it's what I've seen so far is when you go through a tragedy or a storm, there's usually one of three responses. One is the person just becomes numb and can't function. They're just too overwhelmed. Secondly, they get mad at God and they lose their faith and they fall away because they can't reconcile how could a loving God allow pain and evil and suffering to exist as well. They don't understand that there are greater purposes in what God's plans are. Or third, they can have the response where they're not being flippant and they're not trying to be overly spiritual and they don't want to be fake, but they say, I don't understand why this has happened, but I don't have to understand it. You don't have to explain anything to me. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.